So yeah, my name's Simon Milner, I'm Policy Director for Facebook. When it comes to what we allow and don't allow, there are some things we have a zero tolerance approach to. So you cannot post pornography or nudity on Facebook. You cannot bully or harass individuals. You cannot put hate speech on Facebook. So there are things we have a zero tolerance for. Then there are other kinds of content where we're trying to make a judgment in terms of whether something is harmful or offensive. So we don't have a rule that says you cannot be offensive on Facebook. There are lots of people who really don't like One Direction, who find it offensive that other people do. But clearly we're going to allow people who love One Direction, and indeed people who don't like One Direction, to post about it. So we don't have a rule that says you can't be offended. But we do try and ensure that we don't cause harm in the real world. And that's often where some of the hardest judgments we face, particularly around graphic content. And kind of offensive or controversial speech, maybe another way of putting it. And the key test then for us is the context within which people are sharing something. But as I mentioned at the beginning, what I really want to talk about most today is about how we help people resolve problems. And you notice we don't use the word report. That's not how we help people report problems, it's how we help people to resolve problems. And then we ask you this question: why don't you want to see this? And then we'll give you some options. I just want to tell you about one particular flow which you think is very important. If somebody's reporting to us that they think a friend is suicidal, then what we will do is surface content that enables them to get help or support for that friend. And that could include asking us to look at it. And when we look at that content, if we see that somebody is indeed suicidal, if they're kind of two different outcomes, if it really looks like they're in imminent risk of harm, photos of them taking pills, cutting themselves, whatever it is, we can and will contact local law enforcement so they can go in and try and save that individual. And we, week in, week out, we are working with authorities able to rescue people in this way. If instead it's looking like they've got suicidal thoughts, they seem depressed, what we will do is interrupt that person's Facebook experience with a message that says, "Are you in crisis? A friend is worried about you. Here's where you can get help." And somebody has to step through that message. And the get help in the UK is the Samaritans. So we surface contact details for the Samaritans so that person can get some help. And they have to step through that process in order to continue with their Facebook experience. Let me talk about photos. This is the majority of reporting we get of this type, is people reporting a photo that they don't like. So if you click on the option that says, "I'm in this photo and I don't like it," we're going to ask you why. Why don't you like it? And the reason we do that is we're then going to suggest that you message the person who posted that photo, and we'll use the language that you told us that as to why you didn't like it. We populate that message. We used to leave it blank, and when we did, we found that often people would drop out of the process because they didn't quite know what to write. So now we write it for them. Most people use the message that we write for them, and they send it. And around 85% of the situations when this happens, people take the photo down. So what we're trying to do is emulate what we see as best practice in the real world of enabling people to resolve problems without Facebook having to get involved, without the kind of dead hand of Facebook, but actually enable people to resolve problems. And the impact of this new reporting flow is incredibly impressive in terms of in comparison with what we had before, which was an option of just report it to Facebook. We couldn't see a problem. Everybody feels a bit unsatisfied. This is really working. Teachers saying, "Well, I don't know how to talk to my young people about Facebook because Facebook is blocked in my school." So if they've got a problem, they can't show me the problem on their device, and nor really can I interact with them there. On the other hand, there were also some teachers who are saying, "Well, actually, it's not blocked in my school, and we're using it quite a lot. We're using it to organise sporting events." Some places were talking about using it in the classroom. Others were talking about using it to interact with parents. So one of the things we've been trying to campaign on almost in the UK is to try and say, let's change the nature of the conversation about the place of Facebook in schools. So instead of trying to exclude it and pretend it doesn't exist, why not actually bring Facebook into school, use it for learning, and that will make the safety and the privacy conversations easier. Blocking is a very powerful tool and something that really annoys bullies because they can't get to you, nor can they see your content anymore. But if there's one thing you can take away is to to let people know they can do something about it. We know from research from a number of different organisations now there are, you know, lots of under 13s using our services. In most of these situations, the evidence also shows probably around 80% of the times parents know about it, and parents have helped young people lie about their age in order to use our service. What I say to professionals in this case is you can report it to us. You don't have to have a Facebook account. You can go to our help centre and report underage accounts to us. One of the things we asked you is what's your relationship to the account holder. You let us know that you're a teacher. That's going to carry more weight with us. And we will and do look at whole classes of kids and we'll take them off the service. But often, I think teachers don't know they can report it to us.